Namaskar, that means I salute the divinity within you with all the divine charms of my mind and the love and cordiality of my heart. So I say namaskar to everybody. This is Dattaveda Pragyananda, and this is the DharmaCast podcast. And today I'm going to be talking about the inner significance, the inner spiritual meaning of the Bhagavad Gita and, of course, the Mahabharata. The Bhagavad Gita means the song of God, and it's a part of a greater epic from India called the Mahabharata, which describes a war that took place 3,500 years ago. And the Bhagavad Gita is the spiritual core of that book, because in that particular passage, Krishna explains very much about philosophy to his disciple Arjuna. But there's some aspects of that philosophy which is not often talked about, and I want to read a passage by Sri Sri Anandamurti, my guru, and we'll get into some of that inner meaning which is sometimes overlooked. So here I'll begin the passage, and the subtitle of it is called Yours is a Never-Ending Fight. Yesterday morning I gave a short discourse regarding the roles of two rudimentally belligerent forces, virtue and vice, both of which work within and without microcosmic structures. And I also said that whenever we think something or do something regarding speed, in whatever plane it may take place, we should remember two fundamental points. The first is that movement is never in a straight line. It is always of a systoltic order, always of a pulsative order. And the second is that, according to a variation in phase, the velocity and acceleration of speed, in particular, vary. Wherever there is an existence, inanimate or animate, there must be speed, and this speed is a natural law. In each and every structure, there is the vidya force and the avidya force, and where the vidya force wins, the resultant is life, and where the vidya force is defeated, the resultant is death. Now, in this human structure, controlled by a developed microcosm, there are two belligerent forces. One is vidya and the other avidya. Vidya elevates humanity. It aids the progress from the fundamental negativity towards the fundamental positivity. The fundamental negativity is the Kula Kundalini, and the fundamental positivity is the controlling point of the pineal gland. The central idea of the Gita is also this. I said that in the first shloka of the Gita, a question was placed by Sanjaya, by Dhritarashtra, regarding the nature of the mind, regarding how the mind is placed between those two belligerent forces, the Pandavas and the Kauravas. Here, the Pandavas are the force of virtue and the Kauravas the force of vice. Now, who is Dhritarashtra? Dhrita means holder, rastra means structure. He said, O Sanjaya, now that my children and the children of Pandu have gathered on the battlefield of Dharmaketra or Kuruketra, eager to fight, what is taking place? So this is how the Bhagavad Gita begins. And there is some symbolic meaning of what is going on. Dhritarashtra, as has been explained, is the mind, the blind mind. And he's asking the question to Sanjaya, and Sanjaya means the disciplined mind, the mind that can discriminate the portion of that which overlooks the mind, which can discriminate between good and bad. So like whenever you want to do something, you may get different kinds of thoughts in your mind. You might have a good thought, then you have some other thought. It comes into your mind. Yeah, I'll get wasted tonight. We'll drink until we drop. You got both thoughts, and then you have to decide what you're going to do. So that decision-making faculty of the mind is called Sanjaya. But the mind, which is out of control or is controlled by its organs, is Dhritarashtra, and it's blind. So how many organs do we have? According to yoga, we have 10 organs, sensory and motor organs. And they function in 10 different directions, which makes 100. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Mahabharata, it is said that Dhritarashtra, he was a blind king, and he had 100 sons, and these were the Kauravas. So they're one of the parties, because that's he asked Sanjaya what is happening, and Sanjaya is telling him that there are two parties on the battlefield, and they're ready to fight. So those are the two parties. So the blind mind, the blind king, and his 100 sons are fighting. And who are they fighting? They're fighting the Pandavas. And the Pandavas, they're also, just as 100, and they're the cousins, actually, of those, the five cousins of those 100 sons. And just as the 100 sons have symbolic importance, the five Pandavas also have their role. To get an idea what the role of those five Pandavas are, I'm going to read again from the book, from the passage, Yours is a Never-Ending Fight. In Sanskrit, Panda means self-knowledge. Panda is the supreme knowledge. Panda is the sublime spiritual knowledge. And the seeker of knowledge who wants to acquire knowledge is Pandu. Pandu, the movement from the crude to the subtle, is divided into five phases. The crudest is the realm of physicality, the solid level. Then the aquatic level, then the luminous level, then the gaseous, and finally the ethereal. After which, the spirit of the microcosm goes beyond the scope of any physical periphery and enters into the realm of spirituality. So, this passing through five phases is the five Pandavas. The lowermost is Kititattva, that is, Sahadeva, which means abode, the abode for human habitation. Then the next one up is Nakula, Kula Nasti Yasya, the aquatic phase. Then Arjuna, that is, energy, Kriya, Shakti, fire, the luminous phase, the luminous structure. Then gaseous, that is, Vayuputra Bhima. And finally, the ethereal, Judhisthira. Judhisthira means he who remains unaffected, unassailed, properly balanced, and never loses his physical equipoise and mental equilibrium. Judhi means in war, sthira means poised, who remains unassailed in all the fights of the world. These are the five phases through which spiritual aspirants will have to pass, and they will have to fight against those 100 depraving elements who are the agents of the blind mind, Dhritarashtra. This fight between virtue and vice is continuing and will continue forever. There cannot be any peaceful coexistence between bad and good, virtue and vice. One will have to go away and one will have to be expelled by the other. So you are all spiritual aspirants. You must remember that yours is a never-ending fight against all sorts of meanness, all sorts of crudeness, all sorts of depraving elements. You must never forget this fact. This is a discourse given in India, 28th November 1978. So there's a lot of that we can take away from this passage. First thing is that within the human body, there is a battle. Just so the Mahabharata or the Bhagavad Gita is a war that took place thousands of years ago. But within our own structure and also within the wider society, there is a battle going on. And the battle is vidya. What does vidya mean? It means, in one way, it means knowledge. And it's the force which guides us to knowledge, which guides us to awakening, liberation, realization, fulfillment. And avidya means the absence of that knowledge. So it's the force driving us towards away from greater consciousness, towards materiality. And these forces are going on within us. Like I gave the example before, you could have two thoughts in your mind. I'm going to sit down, I'm going to study, I'm going to finish my work, I do something constructive. Or you can, and everybody has thoughts like that, I'll just go out and do something crazy. Everyone has those thoughts. It's not we shouldn't be ashamed of that. But the difference is that we have to control those thoughts. So that's what the battle is going on in the human being. And we have our organs. So like the sons of Dhritarashtra, and these organs, and when they work uncontrolled by the mind, they enhance the avidya. They take us away from greater consciousness. And who is doing the battle are the five Pandavas. And he explains something in that passage very interesting. So in the first chakra is the abode of the human habitation. And one of the names is Sahadeva. So that was one of the five brothers who were fighting in this battle. And then the next phase, Nakula. Nakula means actually without boundaries. That's what water is. So that was the second brother. And the third brother was symbolized by energy. It's Arjuna. That's what the name means. And then the fourth brother was Bhima, and it means also Pavan. He was the representing the force of the wind, the aerial factor. And finally, there was the fifth brother, Yudhisthira, and that's the one whose mind remains unassailed. So this is your, when we battle, we have to battle against this blind mind. We have to take control of it, and that's why in the human body we have the Kundalini, which is the spiritual force at the base. It's called the fundamental negativity, and it makes a movement upwards. It makes a movement upwards through these five stages. So these five stages of from solid to ethereal are the stages which we have to make our battle, and we have to go through each stage, and we have to finally win that battle and control those depraving forces, the Kauravas, the 100 expressions of the mind. So this is what spirituality is all about. It's what human life is all about. Like we read in the world today, you know, so many bad things are going on. Like right now when I'm recording this, we're talking about there's like rape on the college campuses in the US. So it's just the blind mind is there. So we have so much of this blind mind working in causing havoc all over the human society. And there's a battle going on. Of course, sometimes people fight it on the war battle, you know, the police come or there's a war against one party. But really, the real battle is going on in the human minds. And the path of yoga is really the path of controlling that blind mind and illuminating the mind. So every time when you sit down to do meditation, what you have to do is you have to go through those five chakras and bring your mind elevated so that you can liberate it, you can move it towards the Supreme Consciousness. So the battle of the Bhagavad Gita or the Mahabharata is not an ancient battle, but it's going on every day. And you can wage that battle in a good way. It's not a battle with guns and knives, but it's a battle with our mind, with our yogic practice. So that's really the meaning. That's the inner meaning of the Bhagavad Gita. Of course, in that, if you read the Bhagavad Gita or the discourses on it, you learn about what Krishna told. He told many things about incarnation. In fact, he said in the very beginning of the passages that Arjuna, he looked on the battlefield and he saw his cousins, and you know, he, like any human, he said, "How am I going to fight my cousins?" And then Krishna told him, "says, you know what? We've lived many lives before, you know, and what has come, and then will go, and then will be reborn." He explains that actually he explains the whole concept of rebirth. He said that, you know, when the body gets old, it's like an old coat that when your coat is old, it gets discarded, a new one comes. And then he explained that that this whole show of this universe, and he explained the secrets of it. But sometimes people forget about the meaning, though, is that there's not Arjuna fighting, it's not the five Pandavas fighting, but that every day we have to fight, and we have to fight so that we can be victorious. And the victorious doesn't mean that we win, we conquer a country, we win a flag, or we win money, but victorious means that we control our mind. In the ancient Vedas also, they use the same kind of analogy. They said that the human body is like a chariot. And what is the chariot? They're the horses. Horses are the organs. But the horses have to be controlled. If you're going to run a chariot or you're going to conduct a chariot, you have to control them. So how will you control the horses? The reins are there. So the reins are the mind. And then the driver. The driver is the discriminating intellect. That's what we, in that passage before, it's called Sanjaya. So like when you have the chariot, if the reins are strong, the mind is strong, the organs come under control. So it's no longer the blind mind. And now it's a controlled mind. You can direct the horses. You go, say, go right, go left, take me straight ahead, take me towards my destination. But if those horses are out of control, what will happen? Of course, the chariot will crash, will go to the side of the road, or will stand stationary. It won't move, but the purpose has been defeated. And also in that chariot is one interesting thing too. Behind the driver is a passenger. Who is the passenger? Passenger is the Atman, is the soul. So that's what we're trying to do when we meditate. We're trying to commune with the soul. We're trying to withdraw our mind from the mundane, and we're trying to take it to the supramundane and to the spiritual level. We're trying to commune with that soul. But if we are engaged all the time trying to prevent our chariot from being wrecked because the organs are out of control, so every time you have an urge, a physical urge, and you don't control it, it means your horse is going and they're not under your control anymore. That's this trouble people have with addictions and different kind of things. Everybody has it. You know, we know maybe we shouldn't eat that thing, but we still do it because the horse is telling us. This conscious mind says, no, you shouldn't do it. But the horse is a little bit out of control. So what is the path of yoga? The path of yoga is simply to put those organs under the control of the mind, and then that mind will be directed in a proper direction, and that mind will commune with the spiritual entity. So this is at the core of the Bhagavad Gita. This battle is just a symbol of it may have taken place. It did take place, but still it has its importance more than historic or moral is that it is it explains a fight that is going on within each and every one of us every day. So that's what I have understood from this passage. And I also actually read from another passage. I interpolated into that So I hope you enjoy that. If you want to read the original ones, then they're Anandamarga Publications. You can get it in a series of books called Ananda Vachanamritam, or in a compilation called Discourses on Krishna and Gita. So thank you all very much for listening, and we hope to come back with some more interesting podcasts in the future. Namaskar.